On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We could call this homily the Catholic agenda, or the kind of the Catholic game plan. I'm going to focus really just on St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and we've just listened to perhaps one of his most famous and well-loved phrases in the entire Bible, right? We are a new creation. In these three verses from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, you know, the Christians, especially those who lived in that Greek city of Corinth, we brilliantly summarizes what it means to be Catholic, right? St. Paul sets this Christian Catholic agenda. He outlines, this is what we live for. This is how we live. And there's three main points, right? It kind of says our mission, the map to get there, and then the motor that kind of drives us. So mission, map, and motor. Those are my invention, not his, but it sticks with you. Mission. St. Paul sums up our mission when he writes, "So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Our mission, the mission of the church, and really each individual member, isn't primarily in like ending world hunger or curing every disease or making lots of money or making institutions to teach. Those are all great things and things the church does and individual Catholics and Christians do, right, to serve others. And they have their proper place. Their primary mission, though, and what gives meaning to these secondary things, is being active partners with Jesus in building up the new creation. Right? What Jesus started in his resurrection, we as Christians have been brought into, and because of that, we're new creations, and we want other people to be new creations. We want them to receive this gift that we've received. The old, what we lived before, we don't want any of that anymore. Been there, done that, see where it leads, no thank you. We've discovered something new in Christ. And we believe that all have died in Christ, like everyone's been through and suffered in Christ. And in Christ, we've been brought to the new solution, his love, his conquering over sin, a grace-filled friendship with him. So our mission in life, then, is to spread that antidote, right? That give that solution to as many souls as we can. That's our mission. And when we say, "Thy kingdom come," like we prayed last week in the Our Father, which was the gospel last week, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that's what we're committing to. That's what we want. That's our mission. I was texting with a 23-year-old who was a bit of a crisis of meaning after a rough week at work. And what's it all leading for? And what's my mission? And maybe this isn't what I should be doing. And what should I be doing next? And that, all those questions that we as teenagers and young professionals are like struggle with. And even as adults and even as 50-year-old priests sometimes, like where's it going, right? That desire, that's our mission in the end. Help other people discover, be ourselves new creations and help others do it. Secondly, the map to get there. How do we carry this out? What are the steps we need to take in order to become and build up others into this new creation? St. Paul, obviously guided by the Holy Spirit, makes it clear. He writes that we who have been renewed by God's grace are called to no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for their sake was died and raised. Like, he's the pattern. You want to know how to live, how to get there? how to communicate and share this new creation. Don't live for yourself. Live for him and then for others. And then obviously the church, the community, those who are also living that way are our guides. Living for Christ then means putting our God-given talents, our gifts, at the service of others, not just ourselves. It means fighting every day to value the we over the me, right? To live for our character and not our comfort, right? Or service over status. Or living for people over possessions, or positions, pleasures, right? This is our map. Knowing Christ, following his words and example, and helping others to do the same. That's how we fulfill our mission. Now, it's going to look different for each and every one of us, as it should, because we're all a unique combination of talents and opportunities and gifts and skills and intuitions. But the pattern, the model, the ideal to follow was set by Jesus Christ. You want to live new and fresh and energized? Live for others, and in so doing, find yourself. What's the motor? You know, obviously, it can feel a little abstract. What drives us? What helps us connect? The following the map is not an easy thing to do because, obviously, we're fallen creatures. The world, the flesh, the devil that St. Paul points to stands in the way, makes it hard. It's easy for us to become self-absorbed, no doubt, fall back into old patterns, self-centeredness, comfort-seeking. All those things are things we all struggle with. But when we experience that frustration, that regret, that sadness, that kind of lack of meaning at times, we have to keep the motor of our Christian life well-oiled. St. Paul describes our mission with the image of a new creation, right? Old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. He points out the map by telling us we're called to not live for ourselves, but for Christ. But he also describes the motor, the powers, our efforts. The love of Christ compels us, he says. That's what drives us forward. That's what leads us towards this. The Greek word for compels, I know this won't mean much to you, suneko, but anyhow, that's the Greek word, suneko. But it's interesting what it means and how it appears in literature at the same time. What it really means is that force that holds parts together. It's often used also in creation when it's describing the heavens and the stars, and they're like, why do all these things flow together? They use the Greek word suneko, right? There's got to be a force that holds all of this, bodies that would seem to want to go in different directions, together. Or also when it talks about our soul, it often says the soul offers that suneko, that power to hold together our person, our passions, our desires, our life. Like, what stays with us day in and day out that drives us forward is that spirit, right? That soul. That's what compels. That's what drives. It's the love of Christ that holds us together. Why don't we go off and do this or react this way? Or what gives meaning to it all? It's like, I know I'm loved. I know I'm loved by Christ. It's not our love for him, because we're committed and we're decided and we're, and that's what keeps us together, our own decision and our own seriousness and discipline. No, it's his love for us that holds us together, that forgives us when we're weak, that allows us to forgive ourselves and others, that gives us a new vision on suffering, that's what transforms us and drives us and compels us and leads us towards this mission, an experience for that. Where do we get that? In prayer, in retreats, in spending time with God, in wrestling with the questions with him, talking with him. It's the love of Christ that compels us. Our mission is too much for us on our own, right? To become new creations, we can't do it for ourselves. He has to do it through us and for us through grace. We're energized by Christ's personal love for us. When we experience it, it becomes possible and even exhilarating and meaningful. So today the church reminds us of our mission, right? New creations, our map, do it like Christ, focusing on others, imitating his love, and our motor, experiencing that love that holds us together and drives us forward. What we can do, or what can we do to keep that mission in mind, keep our map in sight or our motor kind of humming and flowing? It's prayer and connection with him. And it starts in this Mass. So let's pray really well, much as we can, listening to and following along and making our own the words of the Mass that we hear. And let that experience of the love of Christ that comes to us in communion say, I love you so much that I wanted to stay with you. Like I want to be in you and with you and give you an experience of who I am for you so that you can go out and change the world. Amen.